Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to Galatians chapter 1. I started preaching this last Sunday, and I was kind of going over it last night, and boy, what a blessing it was. And as I went to bed last night, one of the ideas hit me from what I was going to preach today, and it was just, you know, Mike is, how you're going to preach this to everybody else. Mike, how do you measure up to all of this? And I like it when God deals with me about things like that. And so I kind of went to bed last night just thinking about my life and where I stood with the Lord, and the things that I'm going to preach to you. How do they apply to me? If I stand up here and I preach to you how you ought to be, and yet will not be that way myself, then I become a stumbling block to people. And I've been that before, and I don't want to do that again. So just pray for the message and pray for me. I just got, you know, since Thursday, I've just had 10 million things running through my mind about things that need to be done. Just pray that God will just quiet my mind, and we could all learn something from the Word of God this morning. Galatians chapter 1, do you have your Bible in your hand? Say amen. In verse 15, this is how Paul talked about his conversion. And if you're here today and you say that you're a Christian, if these things are not present in you, and I'm not your judge, I'm not here to judge you, but if you say that you're a Christian and a follower of Christ, if these things be not present in you, then I would carefully examine my life and see where you stood with the Lord. Because here's what Paul said. Paul didn't say, now I went and had this done to me by the minister, or I went and joined the church, or I went and did this, or I went and did that. Paul didn't talk about what he did. He talked about what was done in him. And if you have a testimony where you can talk about what God has done in you and through you, then that's a good testimony. But if all your testimony is, well, I went and received this, or I went and I did that, or I said this, or I joined this, if that's your testimony, that I'll just be honest with you, that is not a Christian testimony. Christians don't go around bragging about what they did. Can I get an amen out of God's people? That's just nasty filthiness coming out of our mouth to tell people what all we've done for God. That's a bunch of baloney, and it's a bunch of hooey. It's not about what you did. It's about what God does inside of you. Can I get an amen? So he said in verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Notice, I mean, he said God separated me from my mother's womb. He said, I didn't birth myself. I didn't look at my clock and the calendar on the wall there in my mom's belly and say, well, I guess it's time for me to make my appearance. He said, I didn't do that. God did that for you. God birthed you. Amen. When you were born into this world, it was God that birthed you. You didn't birth yourself. Likewise, the second birth is what God does in you. You didn't do it yourself. Can I hear an amen? He said, so please God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, verse 16, to reveal his son, not through me, although I believe in that, not around me, not to me, and I believe in that, but in me. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Galatians 4:19 says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. There's something happened when you got saved, or when you surrendered to God's call in your life, or whatever it was. Something happened. Words from God's Bible went into you, just like if you took a kernel of wheat or corn or whatever it is, and you planted that down in the ground. Remember what it is that you and I are made of. Dirt. We are walking, moving extension of this earth. And what God did, what God does in someone who has the born again nature, and God put his spirit in them, what God did is simply what we do when it comes to planting season. We take a seed. The Bible says the seed is the word. And by the way, Peter said it's incorruptible seed. We're to listen, this is not man's ideas and man's philosophies, man's wisdom. This is not the Dr. Phil show and Oprah Winfrey. This is not anything like that. This is not Dr. Oz. This is not seven things that you can have to be successful. This is the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, the Word of life going into you. And what God did was he just took his finger and took that seed and he stuck it down inside the dirt of your flesh. And there's hope for you yet. Somebody say amen. There is hope for you yet. And so what's going to happen is one of these days, something's going to come. Have you ever seen that movie Alien? Remember that? Where that alien jumps out of that guy's chest? Listen, that's a corruption of what God has planned for everyone who is saved and born again. There's something going to come out of us one of these days. And that's going to be Christ at His second coming. It's going to be a new body. So that's what He said, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." So what's going to happen one of these days? Christ is going to appear in the sky. You and I are going to be brought up, caught up together with those who have died in Christ, caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He is going to appear to the world. One of these days, the world is going to see who Jesus is. Somebody say amen. That day is coming. And I take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 10. And I started on this last Sunday morning. And I always try to design a message that I can just kind of preach through in one setting. But then secretly in the back of my mind going, I hope I can bog this down for a little while and just kind of deal with the meat of the Word of God. And that's what I like to do. And so He says in Revelation chapter 10 verse 1, He said, "I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven." We talked about an angel. We talked about the message and the messenger of God and so on. We kind of gave that out last Sunday morning. Now I want to look at, He said, "I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven." And He said He was clothed with a cloud. That's kind of unusual. That's not something we talk about a lot. But we're going to look at the symbolism, this cloud, and what this thing represents. And as I was going through this, and I was kind of refreshing my memory on how God uses clouds all throughout the Bible, I just saw some things last night that just really blessed my heart. And I want to share this with you because here's the thing here. If you say that you're saved, you say that you're born again, you say that you're a Christian, and that heaven is your home, then what happens is God is going to reveal His Son in you. And there are people around you who are lost. I did a wedding last night. Some of Sister Aline's family, by the way, got to see her last night, and she's doing pretty good. She don't remember a whole lot of people, you know, but she always remembers me pretty much, and so we just thank God for that. But you pray for her. She's kind of sitting there and people come by and say, "Hey, Aline," and she asks Lisa, Who was that? So you just pray for it. But it was some members in Aline's family. But here I was surrounded by lost people. I mean lost. Wicked people. Seemed like they was nice, but they were lost. Did you know that I have an obligation not to try to act lost like they are? I mean, I want to be nice to everybody and be friends with everybody and have everybody like me. That's my nature. That's how I am. But I have to, at some point, I have to cut it off and say, you know what? I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I am supposed to have Christ revealed in me. Those people that I was with last night have to be able to see the coming Jesus Christ in me. So if I sit down with them with a big beer stein and I'm sudsing it up with everybody, that's the wrong Jesus. If I'm sitting around and they're all telling dirty jokes, and you wouldn't believe some stuff I heard last night. If I'm sitting around laughing at all their dirty jokes, that's not revealing Christ in me. Amen? If I don't say anything to any of these people about God had a good meeting with the bride and groom before they got married, and I laid some things out, and they were very receptive to it. You pray for them. But if I don't do that, there is a hidden Christ that was not revealed to people. And I believe in this New Testament time, Christ wants to be revealed to everybody. In you. So you walk out of this church, well, even in this church building, I believe in you to other saints who are in this building, other church members, other people in this building, Christ should be revealed in you to other people. Amen? And then when you walk out of here, and wherever it is you go, work, school, store, Jack in the Box, McDonald's, doesn't matter where you go, when you go someplace, Christ should be still in you being revealed. Does everybody follow me on that? So, because that's what I'm preaching here. I mean, I like the fact Christ's going to come in the clouds, and I'm looking forward to all that stuff. But you and I are sitting here right now today, and he hasn't come yet, except he appears in us and is revealed in us. So that's kind of what I started dealing with last Sunday morning. And he's talking about how he's clothed with a cloud. Well, what does that pertain to? And I'm just going to run through some scriptures and try to move on here. But I want you to understand this. Let me just kind of read some scriptures to you. You listen, if you want to jot these down or you want to try to keep up with me, that's fine. But I can do that quicker than you can turn pages on your Bible. So just, you might want to sit. But I want to run through these very quick. Job 35:5. Now listen, now this is real simple stuff. But when the Bible says he was clothed with clouds, what does that mean? How does that apply? What application can I, what symbols can I see in the idea that Jesus, this mighty angel coming down from heaven, was clothed with a cloud? What does that pertain to, and how does that have an effect on my life and the people around me? Job chapter 35 verse 5, the Bible says, "Look unto the heavens and see, and behold the clouds which are higher than thou." I believe that one of these days we're going to be caught up together. Where? In the clouds. You and I are going to be clothed with those clouds. And the Bible, and I'm going to get to a verse here in Hebrews 12 where it says we're coming with so great a cloud of witnesses. And I'm going to talk about that here in a little bit. But I want you to understand that I believe a Christian, the Bible says we have put on Christ, and these clouds mean something. And I want you to, and some of these things are just real simple. He said, "Look into the heavens and see and behold the clouds which are higher than thou." You go outside on a day and you can look up and you see clouds up in the sky. What does that have any relationship to do to my life? That means I believe that our standards ought to be high. I believe our expectations of God ought to be high. I believe in high living, high thinking, high attitudes, high standards of conduct and morality and character when we are around other people. We use these terminologies. We use these terms when we apply. Well, that guy is nothing more than just a low down skunk. Did you hear what I said? Where's snakes? Low. Where's the eagle? When God said, "As the eagle," where's the eagle? Up high. Where do snakes live? Down in a pit. They always dig a hole down there. Caleb came up to me one day and said, "Dad, there's a snake out here." I didn't believe him. I went over there. Good grief, there was a snake. This thing was this big around. Huge, coiled up out there. You know where he went? He had him a hole dug. He found one of them old gopher trails down there, and he just went down in there. We couldn't find him. We was jabbing stuff down in there trying to find, couldn't find him. That thing went down. And I want to tell you something. We use that same terminology. "Well, how are you feeling?" "Well, I'm kind of down today. I'm not up like I normally am." And I want to tell you something. If we're going to portray Jesus Christ to this world, and I'm talking about reality. I'm not talking about putting on a false thing and a false front just to make people think we're Christians. And I know every day, not every day is all sunshine and roses. Not every day is good. I know some days I don't feel very good, either emotionally or physically. I'm not doing very well. And so I don't go around going, "Boy, I'm just feeling Jesus today. Praise God." I don't do that. My wife will be able to tell about the first hour of the waking morning. "What's wrong with you?" "My back hurts." But I want to tell you something. When it comes to your character, I think you ought to be clothed with clouds. I think the world ought to see in you someone who is of a high character. Someone they know they can count on. Someone they can rely upon. Somebody they can trust in. When it comes to your morality, I think you ought to have high standards of morality. We want people to have high standards in just about every area we go to. I got a free lunch yesterday because of that. I went to a restaurant here in town. I'm not going to say who they were, but I'll tell you, they did a tremendous job with what I showed them. I was at this restaurant yesterday getting some lunch, and I saw this plate. You know, I had a stack of plates there, and I saw this plate on the top had a little bug on it. And all I didn't go, "Look at that!" I grabbed the plate and I handed it over to the young lady that was standing behind the counter, and I just handed it to her like that. I didn't say nothing, you know. I didn't want to make a scene, and I handed her the plate. She went, and she said, "Where'd you find that?" And I said, "Right here." Did you know they come out of there and they immediately start going through all those plates? They took every plate off of those bins there and took them back in the back and brought out clean plates. And I didn't, I mean, I didn't say no more about it. I got up to pay my bill, and the guy said, free lunch. Why? Because you helped us out. I went, really? So I told Lisa, she said, where are we going to eat today? I said, I don't know, but go by Dollar Tree and get some of them fake bugs. And we'll see if we can go to Jack in the Box and get us some free food over there today. Amen. Hey, listen, we expect Jack in the Box to have high standards of how they cook their food. We expect the restaurants in this town to have high standards of how they clean their hands. You see an employee going to the bathroom and he's coming out and he's not wiping his hands. Go back in there again. Say something to him. We expect high standards out of everybody else. I want to tell you something. The Christian ought to have the highest standards of the whole world. We may not be able to live up to them all the time. We may not be perfect like everybody says we have to be. But I'm telling you, you set your standards high. Somebody say amen. By the way, have high expectations of what you think God will do for you. High expectations, not the lowest thing. I mean high. And by the way, I believe the Bible is perfect. Did you know that God sets a high standard for what his word is going to be? Well, everybody else says, well, I believe there's mistakes in all the Bibles and all the translations. That is a low standard. God is a high God. Somebody say amen. Where's God right now? He's in where? He's in the height of the heaven. Where's all the devils, the scorpions that's going to come from in the last days? They're down in the pit. And I believe we ought to have high living, high standards, high ideas, high philosophies, high expectations of God. Psalm 57:10. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Number one, I believe we're clothed with the clouds. I believe you ought to be cloaked with the truth. The truth, number one, of who you really are. The truth of the fact that you can hide your sinfulness from everybody else in the world. You can't hide it from yourself, and you can't hide it from God. And I think the Apostle Paul talked about how people go out with what he called a cloak of maliciousness. A cloak of maliciousness. They have a cloak. Let me just kind of illustrate this way. There are people in this church right now that I have authorized to carry a concealed weapon. The weapon is concealed. It's cloaked. You're not to know that it's there. That's the whole purpose of a concealed weapon. Did you know that there are wolves in sheep's clothing and just in a lot of churches in this area that have a cloak of maliciousness on them? They're trying to cover up what their real intention is to you. I want to tell you something. If you're in any kind of business and you try to cloak yourself and your real intention is to get as much as you can out of everybody around you, there's something wrong with you. That is not Christ. I think you ought to clothe yourself with the truth. Amen. I think people ought to be able to read you and see, you know what? They're not a fake and they're not a phony. They're not somebody they're pretending not to be. That they say they go to church. You know what? I've watched their life and I believe that they live what they believe. Can I get you to say amen about that? Thy mercy is great under the heavens. There's another part of this. I think Christians are to be forgiving people. I think if God forgave, what did God forgive you of? What is the worst thing or things you have ever done in your life? And did God forgive you of them? Yes. And I'm talking about things that you even have a problem forgiving yourself. I talked to a fellow one time. He may be listening now. He came to me and said, Mike, I'm troubled. Why? He said, I killed a lot of people in Vietnam. He said, can God save somebody like me? Moses was a murderer, cold-blooded murderer. Samson was a whoremonger. Sarah was a liar. Judah, whoremonger, went into his own daughter-in-law, thinking she was, well, she ain't my daughter-in-law, she's a prostitute. That's what he did. That's where Zerah and Pharez came from. And I'm just telling you, all these great people in the Bible, wicked, 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 wicked. Can God forgive? And the answer is yes. Christians ought to be, if we're clothed in that cloud is a cloud of mercy. I believe Christians ought to learn how to forgive people. Let's just bring this down where you're sitting today. I think husbands ought to learn how to forgive their wives. Let me throw this one in. I think ex-husbands ought to learn how to forgive ex-wives and vice versa. Forgive it and get over it. Move on. Learn how to forgive your children. Children, learn how to forgive your parents. Learn how to forgive your neighbor. Pastor ought to have a spirit of forgiveness when it comes to his people. People ought to have a forgiveness of their pastor. I don't do everything right. I may have rubbed you the wrong way. May have said something you didn't like. I think we'd have forgiveness one for another. That's being clothed high. Amen? If you will, listen, if you wish to rise above the rest, then cover yourself with mercy and forgiveness and just start forgiving people that have done you wrong. You'd be amazed at how high you'll fly. Amen? What's good? Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, 1, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. You see that? See the idea of weight? You know what weighs us down? Unforgiveness, bitterness. Being mad at somebody. I don't like it when I have been mad at people. I've been mad at my wife. I've been mad. She's been mad at me. I've been mad at my children. I've been mad at church people. And when I'm mad at somebody, I just kind of go in my own little world for about a day or two, and usually it'll go away. I recognize, watch this now, I recognize the spiritual nature of unforgiveness. Devils will climb all over you when you are in an unforgiving situation where you're mad at somebody and you won't forgive them. Devils will work onto you until you curse and blaspheme and everything else and do everything that's wrong. That's what they'll do. And the Bible says to lay aside that weight, and we're compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now I'm going to tell you what this means and what it pertains to in your life. I think that if you say that you're saved and that you're a Christian, I think the people all around you ought to be able to witness to that and say, yes, he is who he says he is. That's what I think. I have an obligation. It's a growing responsibility that I have, and I'm aware of it. That the people that are watching these cameras right now, they're seeing only an image of Mike Hoggard. That's all they're seeing is an image of Mike Hoggard. The people around me are the ones who know me. And you guys knowing me the way you do, if I got up here and started just preaching off a bunch of stuff and you're just going, where is he coming off with that? Because I know the guy. I wouldn't be able to get away with it, would I? Okay? So I tell everybody, and I tell everybody, if you plan on, you know, we've had several people say, well, we're going to move to Festus. You come down here first. Get to meet me, but then talk to everybody else. And I don't mind if you talk about me. Because I think that if I say that I'm this way, there ought to be witnesses around me that'll say, he is that way. Amen? And listen, if you say that you're the hot rod Christian and the hot shot, and bye guys, we love you. Love you, Frank. Love you, Ron. Love you guys. Appreciate all you workers. Work with them. We thank God for you. But if you call yourself the big hotshot Christian and you're going around to work like you're really something, I think the lost people around you ought to be able to witness and testify he is who he says he is, or she is who she says she is. Clothed with a cloud. Because you know what's going to happen? Christ is going to appear and he's going to be compassed about with witness who will say, this is him! This is the risen Lord. This is Jesus Christ. That guy down there pretending to be Jesus, that's not him. Here's the real one. Amen. Exodus 19:9. The Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud. that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. God appeared in a thick cloud. Why did he say he did that? That the people may hear when I speak with thee. And I want to tell you something. If you will have the presence of the revealed Christ in you, the people around you, you know what they're going to hear from you? They're going to hear the words of God coming out of your mouth. I'm big on that. I am big on when you talk. How many of you know how to cuss and say stuff that's bad and talk about people behind their back? You ain't raising your hand, but I know you do. You know what the Bible, you know what Paul told Timothy? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for instruction in righteousness. Because you and I are good at sinning. I think we ought to let the Bible instruct us and become good at being right and living right. I am big on, number one, me, but number two, you. In the normal conversation, as you're talking to people, let Scripture come out of your mouth to somebody. I want to just ask yourself the question, when I'm talking to people, do I think of a verse in my mind that applies to a situation? Do I hold it in, or do I tell it to people? And once I caught a hold of that one time, I'm not saying I'm good at it. I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to say, boy, I do this all the time. But if I'm getting to where if I think of a verse, and I'm talking just like these firemen up here, okay? If I think of a verse, and while I'm talking to somebody, if the Holy Ghost puts a verse of Scripture in my mind, I'm going to try to find some way of getting it out. I will. And I think you ought to. Why? Because you're the epistle written and known of men. And if Christ, see, I believe in the written word of God. That's the revelation of Christ, is his written word. And the only scripture, is this lost world going to hear scripture from the, I don't know, Jay-Z? Or who's country singers now? Huh? Luke Ryan? Brian? Are they going to hear scripture coming out of these guys? No. Where are they going to hear it from, Jeremy? They're going to hear it from Jeremy Tucker. Jeremy Tucker knows 100 people in this world that I'll never see this side of heaven. They're going to have to hear Scripture coming out of his mouth and your mouth and your mouth and your mouth and your mouth. Even at school, they need to have Scripture. That's why Madeline wore a Ten Commandments shirt to school last week. Bless her heart. I told her, I told Chris, I said, if they give her any guff, you call me. And I'm going to have a bunch of redneck, hillbilly Bethel church people standing outside that church or that school going, she has rights. Listen, if they can wear rock and roll and filthy, vile stuff on their t-shirts, somebody can show up with the Ten Commandments. Surely we've not got that far before in this country. Say amen. Leviticus 16:2, and the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times unto the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Now that goes back with what I said a while ago. I believe if you have the revealed Christ in you, that you ought to be a seat of mercy. Number one, you ought to have your own sins forgiven and know that God will forgive your sins. Even when you can't forgive yourself. But number two, be willing to have revealed Christ in you means that you are willing to forgive. What was the prayer when the disciples said, Master, show us, teach us to pray? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Another gospel says, not another translation, the same Bible says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those, as we forgive those who trespass against us. You see how it works? God, you forgive us as we are forgiving other people. And I believe the revealed Christ is a merciful Christ. Numbers chapter 11, verse 25, and the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him. Watch, listen to this now. I like this one. The Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit. He's talking about Moses. Took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Did you know that that is how people are evangelized and saved? They're not saved by what I did, or what I said, or how I conned them into it, or I use all kinds of methods to get in the door, and then when I get them there, I talk to them about this and that and the other. I can lead most people that I talk to. I've heard people talk this way. I can lead most people I talk to Jesus. Bragging, arrogant, cocky. There's no room for that in the body of Christ. You know what God did? God took the Spirit that was on Moses. He came down in a cloud, and he took the Spirit that was on Moses, and he put it on 70 men, just men, normal people, put it on them. And you know what they did? They prophesied and ceased not. You know how to turn lost people into saved people? Let them see the Spirit of God in you. And I don't mean that you're going, Shamba Latoya, Tito Latoyota. That's a bunch of baloney. That's nothing. Lost people around you going, all right, listen, if that's it, I don't want nothing. Listen, I can get that at the bar on Friday night. Amen. I don't need nothing like that. They see a spirit in you that is different than what is in the rest of the world. They see a spirit of grace on you. They see a spirit of deliverance. They see a spirit of freedom that's on you, that's not easily provoked and easily pushed. They see that on you and they say, you know what, I want that. And if the revealed Christ is in you, he's not going to stay put. God's going to take that same spirit. He's going to put it on your family members. You know what this lost world is full of? Grown adults who as children saw the hypocrisy of mom and dad in church. And I'm saying to you adults, If we in this church, through all these cameras, reach thousands and thousands and thousands of people all over the world, all the way in Kenya and every other place in the world, and we lose our own sons and daughters because, and I'm not saying that if they go away it's your fault, but if they wander off and you know because God's pricking your heart that you had everything to do with it, what have you gained? Yeah, there's a guy in Kenya that's going to be in heaven now one of these days. Oh, that's, praise the Lord, that's all well and good. Boy, I'd really like for my daughter and my son to be in heaven. So you know what? It's our family that can see us here. And it's our family that sees us in the car on the way home and then when we get to the house. They know what spirit you have. It's not hid from them. They know it. Matthew chapter 17. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. They say, number one, that is Christ. Okay, he is the Son of God. He is the beloved Son. But I'll tell you, if Christ is going to be revealed in you, then God himself will come and he will make a pronouncement to the world. Did you know that part of the salvation package that you and I have, part of the salvation package that you and I have is that behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we are become the sons of God. His children. That's why we sang that song, I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. I guess that's why that was in my head. And if you are truly have the Jesus Christ in you, God will come down in front of your people, your family members, your workers, whoever it is you're around, and we'll speak to them and say, this guy right here is my beloved son. This guy right here. Redneck, deer hunter, bib overall wearing. I got a whole lot of other words I can say about Jim. It's not nice, but I don't think God ought to be embarrassed of his children. You know how we are, right? Is that your... That ain't my kid. We can say, that's my son. That's my daughter. And if you've got the risen Christ in you, God will come down and he won't mind telling everybody in the world, this is my child right here. You won't have to say a whole lot. Those of you who are afraid to talk to other people about Jesus... God will do the talking. He will. You ponder that. Now I'm going to go back to this idea that we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now I'm going to hit this and I'm going to be done. This idea that my wife knows me. She knows me. 26 years. She's found out who I was. She didn't know me very well when we got married. I didn't know her very well when we got married. Okay? But she knows me. And she knows. You know what she'll do? She'll see in me every now and then a little haughty, cocky, arrogant attitude. Because I've got it. And she'll say, mm-mm. Don't be that way. And I'll know exactly what she's getting at. Because she knows me. Hopefully, if you were to get my wife in private and say, what kind of man is Pastor? What kind of man is he really? That she could tell what she knows about me. And she could say, he is who he... What you see in front of all these cameras, that's him. Not just my wife. You say, well, you know, she might be covering for you. We know preachers' kids that kind of got away and rebelled against mom and dad. And they'd go around telling, look, my mom and dad was a big phony and a big fake. I grew up in that house. Jack Hiles' daughter, if you know who Jack Hiles is. Jack Hiles' daughter is going all over the country right now telling everybody, my dad was the biggest cult leader this nation has ever seen. And you can believe that or not, but that's what she's saying. You know why? She grew up in the house. She knew about the mistress. She knew about everything. And she said, I knew what kind of man he really was. He's not who you think he was. That's just what she's saying. Whether she's telling the truth, I don't know. But if I'm going to be the revealed Christ, I got to start with Lindsay and Alicia and Courtney and Matthew and Caleb and then Adeline and then Michaela and Jaden and Liam. Did I leave anybody out? Uriah. They have to know me because people are going to ask, what kind of man is he? And I know they're going to tell the truth. And I want them to be witnesses. And I'm not perfect. And they know that. They've seen some of the imperfections of their dad. I knew my dad's imperfections. I know my mom's. But I know my dad's in heaven. Because of the mercy of Almighty God. Let the people around you see the cloud of mercy in your life. And they'll witness on your behalf of who you really are. Can I get an amen out of God's people? Let's stand to our feet.